Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we have a very special guest next, Mary Boyce, Dean of the Engineering School at Columbia, who is the lead brain behind Governor Cuomo's new plan to avoid the L train shutdown. Get your wonkiest engineering questions ready. And remember how this started. The tunnel between Williamsburg and 14th Street was damaged by Hurricane Sandy in 2012, right? For the last 3 years, planning has been underway to design a permanent repair that was supposed to begin with a 15-month total shutdown of the tunnel starting in late April. But last month, Governor Cuomo came on this program to make an announcement to the city about a trip he would take underground.
I'm going to bring some fresh eyes to the table. I'm going to have national experts, international experts. I want to be able to say to every New Yorker, I know it's a pain in the neck. There is no other option.
So that was here in December. And then last week, the governor dropped the bombshell announcement. Engineers from Columbia and Cornell had devised a way to make the tunnel functional without shutting it down at all, just late nights and weekend work, which would space the trains probably about 20 minutes apart just during those hours. Mayor de Blasio, with us here on Friday, had questions.
I want to know for sure that this will work, but also, why on earth wasn't it considered previously?
The mayor's appointees to the MTA board are among those who might need to sign off on the revised plan. So let's see if we can get some answers. With me now is Mary Boyce, Dean of the Engineering School at Columbia, who presented the new plan with the governor last week. Dean Boyce, we greatly appreciate you coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian, and thank you for having me.
Since you're a teacher as well as an engineer, help to educate us non-technical people about some of the terms here. One is that your system uses something called racking to hold the tunnel's cables in, rather than something called a bench wall, which would have required the shutdown. So take a few minutes if you need them and describe for us what is a racking system and what is a bench wall.
So let me go to the bench wall first. So in many subway systems, especially those 100 years old, the cables were housed within a cement wall that is at the base of the tunnel on either side. So the cement is around the cables, which are run in conduits within the bench wall. Every 300 feet or so, there is a manhole, an entry point, in which you could go in to try to repair cables as they encounter problems. The problem with the unique conditions of Sandy is that the salt water from Sandy entered these bench walls and especially in the mid part of the tunnel, and the salt water is really corroding these cables. Now, what we're proposing and what we have recommended is that the cables be actually racked on the wall of the tunnel, up high on the wall of the tunnel. This racking actually places the cables on the wall, not within a bench wall. So we do not need to use the bench wall for housing the cables, but instead we rack them on the wall. And there are a number of different racking systems to use. And another key aspect there is that the cables then also will be jacketed with a fire retardant jacket. And these kinds of racking solutions have been used in many newer tunnel systems around the world, and even within some of the recent New York City tunnels, there's been some cables racked and some left in housed in bench walls. But here we're proposing that the cables all be racked.
So this sounds like you're just proposing to hang the cables outside the wall rather than inside a wall that would require all that construction. It sounds so basic and simple that people are asking, why did it take until now, at the last minute, after people had changed their lives around to prepare for the shutdown? People moved and changed jobs and all kinds of things, as you know. Why didn't you or anyone else think of just racking the cables outside the wall before?
So let me say that when you look at this situation, this is an old tunnel. This is a renovation project, not a new construction from scratch. And also, some unique aspects of this tunnel is it's highly confined space. So the train pretty much fits in the tunnel with some space on either side. So we did have to do quite a bit of investigation to make sure that there was enough room to actually place the cables on the wall. And we did find that there is enough room for that. And then the second complexity is that we do have to go in and address the bench wall. Right, the bench wall itself is highly damaged in some regions. All right, so there is some removal of the bench wall that will still be done, but then we can just abandon the cables within the bench wall that is still structurally stable, and that does, as you just mentioned, remove a lot of demolition and reconstruction. So those non-value-added scope of demolishing a bench wall where it's not needed to be demolished, reconstructing bench wall, those are no longer needed. So this is a big win for everybody. Mm-hmm.
But can you explain at all why this wasn't apparent to people maybe a year and a half ago?
So when we start to address the how do we deal with the bench wall, we are bringing in a number of additional technologies that are enabling us to make sure that we're securing the structural integrity and monitoring the structural integrity of the bench wall. These other technologies of using a fiber reinforced polymer to secure and wrap the bench wall in areas where we do not demolish it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are also proven technologies. They've been used in many large infrastructure projects, even in some projects that the MTA has done, but they've never not been used to secure a bench wall before. We're also recommending using fiber optics to actually monitor the condition of the bench wall. So when we look at these issues of racking combined with securing the bench wall, that it's really a confluence of a number of different elements that we brought together to actually enable this racking of the cables on the tunnel wall.
One of the doubts that's being raised is that a repair like this might just be a patch or a Band-Aid that can't last as long as the total rebuild would. A former MTA Capital Construction president is quoted in the Times today saying maybe 15 to 20 years compared to 80 years for Plan A, so we might be right back in this box too soon. Do you have a different estimate?
Yeah, so I challenge that statement. First off, racking the cables is a superior solution. We have to recognize that there are many upgrades in technology that occur over the years. And in fact, we know that some of the communication cables are already slated to be replaced with fiber. Having the cables racked actually provides much easier maintenance, much easier upgrading, and is a superior long-term solution. The bench wall, those regions that are structurally highly damaged are going to be removed, right? They're out of there. They'll be taken out of there. They will be removed. There are regions of the bench wall that are absolutely not damaged. And we, of course, are going in and checking with care with non-destructive testing to evaluate the bench wall in a much more thorough way. But then the securing of the bench wall and the monitoring, and this is a long-term solution. I would really say this is a 40, 50, or even beyond solution. So this is not a 10-year Band-Aid or bandage or patch, whatever wording that I know has been thrown thrown out there.
My guest is the Dean of the Columbia University Engineering School, Mary Boyce, who is a lead brain behind Governor Cuomo's new plan to avoid the L train shutdown. Dean Boyce is also on the board of the engineering firm Altair, and they write that her research focuses on materials and mechanics, particularly in the areas of multiscale and nonlinear mechanics of polymers and soft composites. So for all the lawyers and social justice activists and poli-sci majors and everyone who usually come on the show, this might be a first for a multiscale and nonlinear polymer and soft composites mechanics expert. So listeners, put on your wonk hats and call up and ask Dean Boyce a question, if you have one, about why this might or might not work as now hoped for. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Another question, Dean Boyce, that some people have is whether doing this work over nights and weekends would kick up too much silica dust to reopen the tunnel each time safely. This was actually brought up as a concern in a 2016 MTA board meeting. Here's a clip from an actual MTA video that says that this is one of the reasons that they needed to shut down the tunnel known as the Canarsie Tunnel altogether. Listen.
For Canarsie, the work is just too much for a nights and weekends closure. In particular, the demolition and replacement of the duct bank and other concrete structures will generate what's known as silica dust. To keep workers and passengers safe, we have to take special precautions and procedures when dealing with silica dust. This takes a lot of extra time. So even if we did shut down the tunnel for the weekend, we couldn't bring back normal service until the following Tuesday or Wednesday because of the time we'd need for the cleanup and silica testing.
So that video with music was part of the MPA's big PR rollout for why they couldn't do exactly what you and the governor are now proposing to do. What changed on the silica dust question?
So first, the proposal had been to remove the entire bench wall. So let me go over that, because this is a major change with what we are proposing. When you're removing the entire bench wall, it also means you're removing the cable. So that requires the entire shutdown of the tunnel, because you have now no functioning cables or functioning bench wall when the demolition and is being done, because you're actually having to reconstruct everything beforehand. And at that point, you're also, when you're demolishing the entire bench wall, you're not doing it, as a piece by piece. So let's come back to now the new process. The new process will be able to fully rack the cables. We will have a functioning electronic system, all power, communication, signaling, all of those cables will be functioning prior to any removal of the bench wall. We can then go in and remove those selected damaged parts of the bench wall piece by piece. Okay, yes, it's a very laborious process, and that's done in order to actually try to prevent and limit the silica dust as much as possible. There are wet processes that can be used. We actually obviously recommend not only that the contractor is monitoring the silica dust, because yes, as you said, we will be putting, the MTA will be obviously doing all the due diligence on this, but they would be putting people back, riding the train the next day or mm-hmm. days later. So we also have made in our recommendations a specific recommendation that there is also an outside agency reporting to the MTA that is monitoring that silica dust is monitored and that conditions are deemed safe. So we feel that this is a much more limited, contained situation in how much of the bench wall needs to be replaced and in how and what processes can be brought in to actually limit that. Because, again, we're not demolishing and removing, over a mile of bench wall. We're doing this in certain sections that are highly mm-hmm. damaged, and this can be done in smaller segments at a time, because we are going to have a functioning system in place.
Let me take a phone call for you. Vince
sure.
in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Vince.
Good morning. Hey, great discussion. I'm not terribly technical, so correct me if what I'm asking is what you just described. But early on, you know, with all the meetings and all the communiques, we were oversold the whole process of how everything just needed to be completely revamped in the tunnel. You know, all the concrete, all the salt crystals, all the mold, not just on the walls, but on the bed of the tunnel as well. And I used to commute also through the Queens Midtown Tunnel, and I saw all the entire phase. I saw when the tiles, when it reopened, when the tiles were moldy, when the tiles, some of them fell down, when the tiles were off, how they had to scrape all of the salt crystals and the soft concrete. And then later on, when they chiseled all the way down to the core, and then I saw them, you know, do it all in reverse mm-hmm. With the new concrete.
And so, forgive me, what's the question?
So the question is, now that the only thing that I hear you talking about is the bench wall and the cables, what about the rest of the structural integrity of the tunnel that we had been oversold for the last couple of years that it completely needed to be changed?
Thank you. Dean Boyce?
Yeah, so very, very great question. That let me say that we have benefited tremendously from our collaboration with the MTA and with the WSP consultants. There was a very extensive evaluation of the structural integrity of the tunnel itself, which is a cast iron tube that is lined with cement. This structural integrity is in very, very good condition. Right, so that is not an issue of concern. You also brought up the track bed. There will still be replacement of the track and the track bed. So those repairs will still be part of this rehabilitation process. So we did look at making sure that our recommendations, which focus on the cable racking and the bench wall, did not interfere with other elements underway. So, for example, you also have new station entrances, which are underway. We have the circuit breaker houses being replaced. We have enhancements to the pump system, second discharge pipe that is planned. All of those additional elements are still part of the rehabilitation plan. What has changed here is the fact that by racking the cables, we do not need to do this process of demolishing the entire bench wall, reconstructing the entire bench wall and placing cables in it, and that is the sort of the critical path element that was requiring the shutdown of the tunnel. Instead, by racking the cables, we are now able to then do all the other parts in parallel with the racking of the cables, and mm-hmm. this is why we can do these periodic shutdowns instead for some of those elements.
Simon in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Dean Boyce from the Columbia Engineering School on the L-Train Tunnel. Hi, Simon.
Yes, hi. I've got two concerns. One is vandalism, and the other is what happens in terms of a derailment.
And I have heard concern about a derailment that Dan Rivoli from the Daily News pointed out to Cuomo in a Q&A last week, maybe you were there, that the very part of the tunnel that you would patch rather than replace caused a subway derailment when it collapsed one time. And the governor said something like, if you just go out there with a pail of cement, he said, pail of cement, and patch the crack, that would do it. So is it that simple?
So let me say on the, which I, in the response to the just prior question, is that the replacement and upgrading of the rail, okay, and the supports of the rail, that is all still in part of the process. So those elements are still absolutely happening. So I don't see a reason to have a concern that the rail issue is not being addressed. That is being addressed as in the same way that the prior proposal would be addressing those. Okay, we did not focus at that in our recommendation because that is not impacted. That part of the repair is not impacted by our recommendations. That will still happen.
So would it be accurate or inaccurate to say that the very part of the tunnel that you would patch rather than replace caused a subway derailment when it collapsed one time?
So remember that we are racking the cables and we are actually demolishing the bench wall in that central region where we find the bench wall is highly compromised. So that element, that bench wall, is being removed.
We have just a few minutes left with the Dean of the Columbia Engineering School, Mary Boyce, who is a lead brain behind Governor Cuomo's new plan to not totally shut down the L train tunnel after all. Can I ask you before you go about being a woman in this engineering leadership position? Do you feel you've been received with any more skepticism by anyone with this plan than a man in your position might not be subject to?
I have not found that. I have found my remarks and my suggestions and recommendations to be very well received and considered. And I would also like to emphasize what an incredible collaborative effort this was. And I think that's an important message to the public. Engineering is a collaborative effort, and it's a very innovative effort. And we can see the impact that engineers have on our everyday lives through this project. And I think that's a great message for us to be getting out to all young people of the impact they can be having by pursuing an engineering degree.
Indeed.
And this is for women and men. This is an incredibly interesting, vibrant, and always changing field that's full of exciting projects.
I agree. Go engineering. How's the enrollment gender balance these days at Columbia Engineering?
Yeah, so Columbia, we're very proud of our gender balance in engineering, particularly at the undergraduate program. We are near parity. Our entering class is nearly 50% women, and we think this is a great message to all women and to all men out there that women and men in engineering work side by side on a lot of innovative projects, and we hope that more of the world can see this happening as well.
That's great. So let me just try one more time, last question, on why it took all these engineering brains so long to come up with this alternative. Why didn't anybody develop it a year and a half ago, a year ago, 2 years ago?
So of course, you should talk with the MTA on that, but I really see that when you're looking at the uniqueness of this tunnel and the confined space, that there was a lot of security in going back to the original solution of putting cables in the bench wall. For us to do that breakaway of thinking, can we get those cables up on the bench wall? I should also say they have to all fit on one side, not up on the tunnel wall. And the cables do have to fit on one side because we need the other side for egress. That by exploring that carefully and then coming in with new technologies to address the bench wall structural stability, it was really that combination of pulling many things together. And the MTA and the design consultants, WSP, were highly responsive to these ideas and to helping track down all sorts of details on this. So I think it also shows the MTA is open for innovation and really wanting to do what's best for New Yorkers. This is a long-term solution for this big infrastructure project that benefits all New Yorkers, the New Yorkers who commute every day, the New Yorkers who are in businesses that would be impacted by this shutdown. This is really a win-win solution for everybody.
Dean Boyce, we really appreciate you spending so much time with us and getting into the weeds and all the details on this. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.